Hi, this is Steve Chandler with a production called Challenges. Some of the biggest breakthroughs I've ever seen in my clients and even in my own life have come from seeing the benefits of challenge, of actually seeing that it benefits me to challenge myself, and it benefits me to look upon things that I saw previously as problems and see them now as challenges that benefit me. And when I can see it that way, when I can really embrace the benefit of challenge, then I'm able to have a completely different life. I'm not just avoiding things with all my days. Now, most people, especially those in the victim mindset, have this kind of life. They wake up in the morning and they try to figure out what they're going to avoid. So it's a life of avoidance and aversion. They begin the day by saying, oh my gosh, what do I dread? Let me look at my calendar. What do I have to do? What are my obligations? What do I hope does not happen? And so this is a life that is subconsciously being lived with a mission to avoid challenge, because this person doesn't see the benefit of challenge. They see challenge as an affront, an insult to the comfortable life. And so they try to avoid it. And they end up being more challenged than other people in the long run because they haven't challenged themselves. So let's look at the physical side of this. Even people in their 80s and 90s, studies have shown, and I refer you to the book Biomarkers, but you can check this out for yourself with your own body, that people who challenge themselves physically end up feeling better, having a better life, having more energy, having more clarity, having more spirit, feeling better, being healthier. So they did studies with people in their 80s and 90s, and gently, they began bringing weights in. I mean, what a horrible thing. Poor 85-year-old, you're going to make him lift weights? Are you kidding? Are you sick? What is this, some kind of death camp experiment? No. What happened was, these people got stronger. Their hearts got better. Their heart health got better. Their outlook got better. Their lung capacity improved. Their metabolism was better. The nervous system was better. The circulation in their bodies really got better from lifting weights at the age of 80, the age of 90. So this is the benefit of challenge. Challenge benefits people. A lot of times I'll have a client come to me challenged by some problem, and I'm putting the word problem in quotes, and they're so upset that they have to deal with the problem, not seeing that dealing with this problem is going to make them happier and stronger and better as a human being. They don't see the benefit of the challenge. And if we could start seeing the benefit of the challenge, life would get to be so much more fun, and we'd be stronger. So the way to really see the benefit of challenge is not to sit and repeat affirmations in the morning, challenges benefit me, challenges benefit me. I mean, that's not bad. That could be a good start. But follow it up with experimentation and see if challenges benefit you. And the way to do that is to challenge yourself. I want to challenge myself. I'm about to do some project. How would I like to challenge myself? Where do I want to push myself? What new ground would I like to break? And so I begin by challenging myself physically. Okay, look at my workout program. Where would I like to challenge myself today in the health club? Some machine I've not used yet, some place I've not gone yet, some weight I haven't lifted yet, some distance I haven't walked yet. So challenging yourself gives you a relationship to challenge that's really beneficial, and you begin to see it as something that serves you and feeds you and gives you energy and gives you strength and benefits you. The more I challenge myself, the more I challenge myself, the less the outside world throws things at me that look like obstacles and huge problems that are hard to overcome. These look like easy challenges in life because I've been challenging myself all week. Show me what you've got. What do you have? Throw your challenge at me. I'm ready for it because I love challenge. If we could learn through experience to love challenge, then challenges are no longer filed in the category in my brain called what's wrong with life. Why can't life just be pure comfort? Now, the beautiful thing about Elvis Presley is that his life had so many lessons for us that we can tap into and look at. The first part of his life, he would go out in front of thousands of people, hundreds of people in an audience, and he would challenge himself to express himself from the heart and not have any fear that he was singing differently, he was moving differently, he was not like anybody else in the whole world, but he would just allow that expression of the soul, that huge energy, that love of the song, the sense of ownership, to simply express, let the chips fall where they may. And if you look at the early films of his life and you see some of the early concerts and the shows on Ed Sullivan, you see expression on his face, and you hear that music. It's so infectious, even today, with all the better production values on all the music, you can hear the raw beauty, the energy in the music of Elvis in his early years. And this comes from living a life of constant challenge. But it's voluntary challenge. It is absolute joyful challenge. He challenged himself and he challenged the world. Hey, look at this. Listen to this. It's different than anything you've ever seen. And I don't care what you think of it. Well, that kind of challenge was beautiful. Later in his life, it was completely turned around. So later, his life became a life of comfort, a life of ease, a life of people around him, the Memphis Mafia, feeding him drugs and deep fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches. And his life went in the opposite direction. There were no more challenges. I mean, how challenging was it to make a movie like Clam Bake or Harum Scarum or Girls, Girls, Girls or Fun in Acapulco? It was the same movie. There was no challenge in his world. And because there was no challenge, he lost his strength. And when his strength went away, he became obese. His voice closed up. He couldn't sing like he used to. His life became a nightmare. He was firing guns at the television set. He was crazy. He was paranoid. And he died on the bathroom floor at the age of 44. Drugs in his system, obesity. And here was a man who kept seeking comfort. So what happens to us when we think success and money and safety and security are what we ought to go for? What happens to us? Well, we find that there's nothing there when we get there. There's nothing there. There is no real security in that kind of security. There is no comfort in that comfort. It's paranoia. It's more fear. And it's a huge disappointment. Second home, third home, second boat, third boat, private jet, more clothes, more shoes, granite countertop, redoing the house, redoing it again. What am I looking for? What am I trying to achieve? More pleasure, more nice things. We like nice things. Going out to dinner with a couple, we like nice things, but they're just miserable people. Okay, then things are nice, yeah, but you... That's what seeking comfort does. But what about turning that around? How about seeing the value of challenge? I was working with a very creative person who's a client of mine. We were doing a session over Skype last night. And he was beaming. His life had taken off. He was serving so many people. And he was a very happy person. And he looked into the camera on Skype, looked at me, and he said, "This recession is the best thing that's ever happened to this country." Now, I loved that. What joy in that statement. But the reason he could say that was because how he valued challenge. Valuing challenge is what gets you the life that you saw when you were younger. When you were a kid and you loved a challenge. Hey, let's see if we can jump off this. Hey, let's see if we can do that. Hey, can you do this? Hey, let's see if we can do that. Remember that? Challenge, challenge, challenge. We knew intuitively that's where the fun was. That's where the real fun was, in challenges, not in comfort. I mean, what if you walked up to a real energetic child and said, Well, I know you're playing and you're running and you're jumping off this and you're crashing your bike and it looks real dangerous, so I want to give you comfort instead. Come on in the house. I've got a Valium Mister here for you. We're going to give you a lot of chocolate and food and put on a DVD, sweetheart. We're going to give you some comfort. And so parents really kind of project their own misguided need for comfort on their children, start comforting their children. I want to comfort you. I want to comfort you. Just sit down. Be comfortable. Here's a pillow. Here's some cake. Here are the cookies I know you love. And so this comfort thing is misguided. It's a mistake. So our country now, going through the recession, is going through a wonderful time because credit cards have been taken away from people. Sorry, no more free money. And other things are being taken away. Oops, this isn't free. We just said it was. And so things have been taken away. Jobs have been taken away. Now, people can interpret this as tragedy and shocking. I saw clips on TV of people rioting, burning cars, smashing windows because the retirement age in their country was going to be raised from 60 to 62 or something like that. Oh, no, what a horror. I mean, what a nightmare that we would have to work 2 more years. We don't want challenge. We want comfort. We want retirement. We want absolute no work. We want comfort. And it is insane because look where it always leads. I have never seen a person and never heard of a person on their deathbed looking back on their lives and saying, you know, what a life I had. What a great life. And what I most love to recount and recapture and tell you kids about are the great moments of comfort I experienced at certain points in my life. I just felt absolutely, totally, so comfortable I didn't even know I was there. And that was the real greatness of life, was being cared for by others, not ever having to do anything. No one ever talks that way. Ever, ever. People talk about the challenges they faced. People talk about what they went up against. I remember my father talking about World War II. And as he got older, he would talk about things when he grew up poor in Parker, Arizona. The challenges the family had. How they took in laundry at night and they all worked on it. His eyes lit up. You could see it in his face. Those were the great times. It wasn't when he was successful later in life. He retired early to drink all day and sit in front of the TV set and watch reruns of Happy Days. That wasn't the part of his life that he recounted. He didn't say, oh, that was so satisfying to just be able to get up and make myself a martini, take a couple Valium and watch Happy Days and then take a nap. Now that made my life worth it. That was a shameful part of his life. That's the part he didn't want to talk about. He wanted to talk about the challenges. And if we got real honest, and if we really looked at where joy comes from, we would start to welcome challenges. We would start to challenge ourselves more. Wake up. Look at my calendar. Do I have space in my day to challenge myself with something? Who am I afraid to call that I'm going to call today? What kind of physical accomplishment can I do that I wasn't going to do? What language can I learn? Challenge brings joy. But most people, I would say 8 out of 10, devote their adult lives to avoiding challenge, to avoiding it, because they think it shouldn't be there. Problems shouldn't exist. Challenges should not be there by this time in my life. It's a real problem. It's a real obstacle. It's something I need to avoid. And it leads to all kinds of misery to avoid challenge. And it leads to all kinds of joy to see the benefit of challenge, to love challenge, and to seek challenge.